You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Hey Stella, how are you going?
Oh, great, thanks. If not hot, how are you?
I'm very sweaty. I'm having a great time already. We're standing in the already browning field of Western Springs.
Truly, rapid rate.
It's feeling midsummer. We're walking past the drug checking tent, which has a very comical sign that says free drugs,
and hooray!
Then in small print next to it, info and advice about.
Classic.
Love to see it. We're heading on our way to the Never Let It Rest stage, where we're going to catch a little bit of Blonde Shell, who we're going to have a bit of a kōrero with later on tonight. Mm-hmm. So very much looking forward to that. We just both got like nervous walking past cops for no reason at all.
I'm stressed out.
Oh, there's something about it. Makes you feel like you've done something wrong. All right, let's go see some music. Kia ora Sabrina, welcome to Auckland, how are you?
I'm good, how are you?
I'm so well, it's fantastic to be sitting in the beautiful, idyllic Western Springs, just about an hour after you played your set at Laneway Festival. How are you feeling?
I'm feeling great, it is so beautiful here. There are swans, and not only swans, but there are baby swans as well.
We were just talking about that. The baby swans are very cute, but I'm quite scared to get close to the mums because they'll probably bite your arm off or something.
That's so true. Yeah. I just learned like 2 seconds ago that geese have little like blades on their tongue. They have like teeth on their tongues.
No way.
Yeah, so I'm not going to go too close to the geese either. No.
Yeah, that seems fair enough, I think. This park is famous for its bird life. I hope you get to see some pūkeko. They're very iconic New Zealand birds. You'll know them when you see them because you'll be like, what is this blue chicken that's running around?
Wow.
Yeah, that's pretty much the vibe.
That's amazing.
We didn't come here to talk about birds though. We came to talk about your excellent music. I was chatting to some people in the crowd after your set who were just fizzing. It must be quite an amazing thing to come all the way to the other side of the world and hear people sing your lyrics back to you.
Yeah, I didn't expect it. I've never been to New Zealand before. I've never been to Australia, never been to Asia, and that's where I'm going on this tour.
That's exciting.
Very exciting, and I just keep not expecting that people will know it, and then they've been able to sing along, which is really, really cool.
It's such an amazing thing about, I think, the type of music you write, that you can talk about personal experience that people can find their own way into as well, because a lot of people might see themselves reflected in it, or a lot of people might see their friends reflected in it. It must be quite a strange feeling, though, when you're up there performing songs that come from your like lived life. Do you sort of have to go outside your head a little bit when you're doing that, or do you just like let yourself sit in it? What's the experience like?
I think a lot about what's going on in the moment more than I think about how I was feeling when I wrote it. Sometimes it comes up, but I think a lot of the time I'm just thinking about what's going on today more than I'm thinking about what was going on 2 years ago or whatever.
Yeah, totally.
So, yeah, and also just thinking about the actual show and people that are there and all that.
It feels like a really wonderful thing for us to see music back in Auckland, which seems like a crazy thing to say because we've had COVID, we had big floods last year, this festival couldn't happen. Mm-hmm. And I've just seen so many people today fizzing on the, I guess, excitement of being back out and about. This is your day job, so what's it like for you? How do you keep the kind of enjoyment going?
I'm not like jaded or anything because I haven't been doing it for that long. So I don't have to work to keep the excitement. It's just kind of crazy for me to get to do it. And like, I'm so far from home. So for me to get to come all the way here and see all these places that I've never seen before and just go through the motions of like, okay, we wake up, we leave the hotel, we get to the flight, like all that stuff still feels so new to me.
Totally.
So it's really exciting.
And who are you excited to see today? I can hear Faye Webster playing in the background as well.
I actually was going to say I can hear that. And I've never seen her live.
Neither have I.
So I want to see her.
Maybe we should just make a run for it.
Yeah,
together. Yeah. Who else is on the sort of dream list for you today? Because now I guess you get to sort of have a few chats and chill a little bit.
Yeah. I want to see Steve Lacy, but he goes on very, very late. But I'd like to see him.
Could have a little nap beforehand.
Yeah, I could nap.
Find a nice tree to sleep under.
Yeah. I'd like to see Dominic Fike. And who else? I saw Hemlock Springs.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
I watched her side stage before I played.
What's next for you music-wise? Because this album's been, I mean, it's really resonated with people. It's kind of kicked this new music era for you into hyperdrive almost. What's the sort of plan and the project for 2024 for you?
Well, I've been making another album. So I wrote it and I've been recording it. And we're kind of like halfway through the process of recording it.
Yeah.
So I imagine it'll come out next year.
That's exciting to hear.
Yeah.
And does live playing like this feed back into how you go into the studio, or do you think of those as quite different experiences?
They totally inform each other. But the way it works out with logistics, it's kind of, I end up doing most of the recording first. So then the recording usually makes the live show sound the way it does. But they inform each other, like, we've been playing a couple of new songs, and so the way I sing it when we go to record it will be different because of how I sang it live.
Yeah, absolutely. And also when you're playing live and you see what people are responding to, are you ever surprised by songs or like moments in music in different places that kind of resonate?
I'm always surprised that people resonate the most. I think in a live way, people resonate the most with Sepsis. It's interesting because we have so many ways of knowing how people react to different songs, like all these different metrics and stuff.
Yeah.
So we know, like, everyone looks and sees which songs people are connecting to.
Yeah.
And so for me, sometimes it's surprising because it's not like, it's not always the songs that have the most streams and whatever that people want to hear live.
Yeah. It's kind of a different magic almost or something. Yeah.
Which is great because thank God the world is not just numbers.
Absolutely. Yeah. I feel like that's a nice space to end on as well. I hope you have a fantastic afternoon, Sabrina.
Thanks.
Hope you get to see some music, get a rest, maybe see some good birds in the park as well.
Yeah,
this breeze is really, really nice right now.
I know.
Thanks so much for chatting with
us. Thank you.
Thanks. Seen Blondshell play. What was your impression of the set?
Sensational. I mean, she put out probably one of the best alt rock albums of 2023. She's fucking killing it. Sepsis went so hard. They went into Olympus, Kiss City, Salad was unbelievable as well. It's just like she is one of the best alt rockers that there are. And you think of like those 90s female bands of like Hole and like PJ Harvey, and like this is the new generation. She's sensational.
We're up in the media center, which is a repurposed commentary box for the Speedway, and I'll tell you what, gives you a bird's eye view of everything that's happening at the music festival.
Yeah. Paris, Texas Mosh Circle just opened.
It's been shut down, but I can see it gearing up for another round.
Here
we go.
Very bouncy.
Yeah, it looks pretty hot on the rail there. We also just got to watch someone try to jump the fence from Old Mill Road.
We had two.
A classic Western Springs situation. And we watched everybody in red security jerseys just like hoof it up the hill.
Two track stars almost made it.
Taken down at the last minute by some speedy security. It's a good day. It's a hot day. People are making sure they're drinking water. People are sitting in the shade where they can. And people seem to be in a really good mood and having a fun time.
There's a nice vibe in here.
The vibe is vibing. There is a little bit of bird shit in this commentary box. Not gonna lie. But apart from that, vibe is vibing. Nielsen. We're sitting in Western Springs Park. It smells like Western Springs Park, which is actually quite nice because it smells like sweat everywhere else at the moment.
Yeah, makes sense.
Yeah, totally. How are you feeling? It's nice to be home. What's the vibe?
Yeah, no, it's really nice. I mean, the weather's perfect right now. It's a bit too hot here, but it's not going to be too hot. This is probably we're probably past the hottest part of the day.
Yes.
And I'm looking forward to playing and stuff. I don't know. It feels pretty good so far.
Everybody we've talked to is just very, very excited to see the return of UMO, and particularly with an album that feels like it's been quite a special project for you guys. The pandemic's been a weird time for music. You guys have found ways through that, but the kind of spread of the band around the world's been strange, and there's a lot of home in this record for you. How does it feel, I guess, to be in the touring phase of it now?
I guess it's nice because during the pandemic I spent a lot of time when I was kind of stranded away from my brother because of lockdown here, and just like real confused about like what the point was, like, because I'd spend like months by myself in Palm Springs just recording stuff, and then I was thinking, is this even a band's even going to be a thing anymore? Like, for a while it was like really weird. It was like not knowing whether the world was ever going to kind of open up and whether touring was going to happen again. And every time anyone, even when things first opened up and people started touring, it just sounded like a horror movie, you know. And I was just like, so I just put it off and put it off. So now that things are more normal, it's good. It's good because it makes all of those weird songs that I made in a state of not knowing if I was ever going to play them, it's like they're real. And people know them and, you know, stuff like that. So
there's like a almost victory lap, triumphant quality maybe. Or
yeah. I mean, it's at least it's like, well, it's not even
triumphant,
that.
Triumphant, maybe not
it's
the right word.
It's just like real, you know. It's just like, okay, I have a job. It's like, it's more like that, honestly. It's just kind of like nice to be, because it is weird. If like being a musician is strange if you don't tour, because then you start to wonder like, who am I? Like, what do I actually do? Like, I'm so useless. But when you, Even if you're making money from music and you're not seeing the crowd, and then you kind of see you're making people happy, like, and they're in front of you, then you're kind of like, okay, this is what I do for a living. And then you get your kind of sense of purpose from that. So being without that was really bad for everyone in the band, I think, because we were just like, we put so much of our identity in like doing that, you know, going from town to town, going, this is what I do, I make people happy.
Yeah.
You know, and then without that, you're kind of like, what, you know, what am,
what's
what
it all
am
about?
I?
Yeah. I completely feel like everybody's had their version of that, but no one has felt it more than musicians, because the nature of what music is so ephemeral that you have to see that tangible reaction to really understand what it means almost, or something, and then it's hard to pin it down even when it's happening.
Yeah, it's like, it could be true that musicians are the most useless people. Like, if things get like, you know, slightly, you know, it's like, it's only, you're only just like, are you
no I'm going to stop you there, Ruben, because who would document this important time? Who would tell us how we feel about it? Who would help us understand our process through, you know? Or something like that, you know?
And also the biggest whiplash of, like, being really full of yourself and then
totally.
And then feeling really useless, you know? like, narcissistic whiplash.
Narcissistic whiplash. That would be a bloody good metal band's name, that would.
Oh, yeah, it actually sounds pretty good.
also, just to hijack the vibe for a second, that van that just drove past us, I'm pretty sure Stormzy was in that van.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, that was cool. I think I just saw his side profile in the car there. Pretty skarks.
The most I've ever experienced of feeling what it's like to be famous was being in a van that people thought Stormzy was inside of.
Really?
Yeah. And there's this, like, but it was the craziest thing. It's like Australian girls, like, really just children in virtually no clothes, just smashing on the windows.
Wow.
And then one of them, with one of our things that we've been laughing about for days, is like one of them was just like, just completely like, you know, obsessed,
yeah,
but was screaming, "Stormy, Stormy!" Like, I was just like, wow, I've never seen someone love someone so much and not know
also get their name wrong.
Yeah.
So, yeah. It must be good, because so much of Unknown Mortal Orchestra, as you say, like, it's not just about the music, it's the family band aspect of it is still something that is, you know, sets you guys apart, I guess, in that you go beyond the music. You've known each other literally since day dot. Is it fun to hit the road together? What's that kind of energy like? Do you sort of revert to childhood a bit?
Well, I mean, for, you know, in good and bad ways, like, we still, like, you know, like, the last time that me and my brother almost got in a fist fight is like only a few months ago, and I'm not like, I'm too old for that stuff, but it's like funny how family does that to you.
Yeah,
but it, like, yeah, it drives you nuts sometimes. And I think a lot of people are just like, how do you do this? And it's just kind of like, it is like one of the hardest things to do, but it was also just kind of like really hard to not do it,
because
it's nice to like get out of New Zealand, you know, like leave New Zealand and leave your past behind, and then kind of like be your own person and establish your own thing. But then you know, it gets to the point where you're kind of like, I want to you know, like, bring my brother with me. And
yeah,
it's more and more, it's just like I feel more and more like that's the phase of life I'm in, where I'm like, I want my friends to be here, and I want you know, kind of want everybody to come with me, because being far away, and all of your friends being people that you know, didn't know before you were like 28,
yeah,
gets real old real fast.
Hometown show today. Do you reflect on that type of thing before you play a gig like this, or do you just try and get on the stage and have a lot of fun?
Well, when I'm on stage, I'm not thinking about anything,
because
that just makes the show bad. So I just try to be like the dumbest. It's like a really dumb, really confident version of myself.
Nice.
That I'm trying to be on stage, or that I just kind of switch into that mode, and then it just doesn't matter who I'm performing to. And it was like partly like, there's certain books I've read about this stuff, just to try and, because I'm quite a shy person usually, and then so getting up in front of a lot of people, if I just got there as my normal personality, it was like kind of paralyzing. So
yeah,
I kind of like, there's a lot of like mind hacks that I do,
yeah,
where I just kind of like switch into a totally different gear, and then I really don't care what anyone thinks I'm doing. And usually I walk off the stage out of the daze, and then the dumber I am on stage, the better usually the show has been, you know?
Yeah.
So if I'm thinking too much, then some hometown shows are quite hard, because it's, you know, it's one thing to play in front of thousands of people, but it's another thing to play in front of like your parents or like friends from high school. Or,
yeah,
you know, that can mess with your head a lot more, I think. So.
Totally. You sort of got something to prove, maybe, or there's that voice in your head that wants it to be really good, wants your mum to like your homework project or something, you know, that type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
We had a big gig last year to raise some cash for Old Mate BFM, and you made a very nice tweet about it, which made us all feel very warm and fuzzy in the office, because it was a bit Trench City for a minute there.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, you've got a long history with this station. What is it about, like, I guess, indie music? Because that's where you guys still live, and indie in the sense of like DIY, doing it yourself, working it out on your own terms. What is it about that that's important to you in that, like, you know, diehard type of a way?
Yeah, I don't know, because it's like no matter how successful we are, or like how much access to resources and people that I have, I always end up doing a lot of stuff myself. You know, things like, and it really ties back to like being a teenager and kind of like doing a lot of, you know, like trying to be creative, like, and also like the old Minchicks days, like we would, you know, design a flyer, and then we take the, you know, we go and photocopy a bunch of stuff, then get like mix up some like paste, and like me and Cody would like throw like them all in our backpacks, and we'd just go pasting up ourselves, you know, and we'd just walk, you know, that would take like 4 hours or whatever, and back then it was just like it was just all really fun. And then you'd play the show, and like some people would come because they'd seen the flyer, you know, like, and it was like that was really everything. And so I just kind of still feel in that space, and we always recorded ourselves, and I still, you know, like to record myself and mix myself and do all that stuff.
Yeah,
it's just like it's only you, you know, only you have only yourself to blame.
Totally.
Which is good, and I just think learning more skills is just fun. It keeps you excited and stuff like that. So, you know, like I've been really getting really into photography lately, so I can kind of like know and understand that stuff. And then even if you do work with other people, you can kind of, you don't sound like that really annoying client who doesn't know what they're talking about. So, but yeah, that's cool. And like BFM was a big deal for me when I was a kid. Like it just, that's where I discovered like everything cool, basically. And if I hadn't had that, you know, it was like, this is going to show you how old I am, but it was like, there was no internet when I was a teenager. So BFM was like everything that people would be looking for on the internet now. It was all on BFM, basically.
Yeah.
So, which makes it like kind of amazing, because it's a very like compact thing. It like simplifies the process. You don't really get just anything you can imagine. You just kind of get fed this kind of curated thing, and like looking back on it, it's like it was really rich, kind of amazing thing. The people that were in charge of that were just giving a curated version of like the best hip hop of the time, the best dance music of the time, a lot of weird stuff, like a lot of heavy music and punk and hardcore metal, stuff like that. And it was all fucking, you know, just on the radio. So I just, you know, as I get older, I'm like, man, that was really important, you know?
Yeah, yeah, totally. And we've always been really, like, grateful for the, like, aroha from you guys as well. And it is that thing. I mean, it's the all the nerds together, really, isn't it? Those kind of spaces. Like, oh, we're all here because we just like this weird little pocket of this weird little city, and we want to make sure other people can kind of find it too, you know?
Yeah, it is. It's a good thing. And it's like, as the internet, like, kind of opens up, it's like that curate. I miss the curation and the, like, that, like, magazine format of radio. And I miss the simplicity of just turning the thing on, rather than thinking like, oh, what am I getting, you know, getting on my phone and like
what to mood am I in. The DJ will tell you.
I'm kind of sick of that, honestly. I kind of really, really miss people spoon feeding me something good.
Nice. You know? Well, we're always here, Ruben. We're the cockroach, we're not going away. Hey, it's been so nice to chat with you. I hope you have a fantastic set tonight. We can't wait to go and see it. It will be a very special one, highly anticipated, and enjoy your time at home as well.
Cheers. Thank you.
I'm not afraid to die.
I have hiccups so bad. I'm wearing a dress, which is cute, but hard to sit down in. Also, like, I don't really care that much. It's a festival. What happens, happens. If you're showing a little bit undies, it's like...
25. All
right, we're trekking up the hill. The sun is just starting to set. Heading towards Nia Archives now. Following the sound of brakes and bass. Backstage, end of the festival is approaching. We can hear Stormzy in the distance. Saw some fireworks just pop off from Stormzy's set. How have you been? Have you had a good day today?
Yeah, I've had a really good day. I love Auckland. This was the festival show that I was looking forward to the most, I think. Yeah.
That's really nice. It feels like a long time coming because I think last time you were here, there was a lot of rain around Auckland City.
It was very rainy.
Yeah, I'm so sorry. Well, we've turned it on for you today. Got some proper sunshine, some actual summer, New Zealand summer going for you, which I feel is really where Jungle is at its prime. Is it's a big summer sound. One of those things that we've seen, like the ripple effects of here in New Zealand, is this second Jungle kind of wave happening across the globe at the moment. For you, sitting in the kind of position where you get to see it in different countries, you get to play your music in different countries, how does it feel for you at the moment? Where is it kind of sitting? Does it feel like a healthy space, a fun space?
I feel like it's like really exciting at the moment. I feel like, you know, obviously it's been around for 30 years and there's like people that have been doing it and are still doing it, and they're like people that I really look up to. But I think it's really fun for something to exist. You have to have people that, you know, next generation that push it forward. Yeah. And there's a lot of like young producers that I'm really excited about, young DJs, young promoters, like all of that's like part of keeping the genre alive, I think.
Totally. And I think you are someone that people really look up to because you know your history and you also look to that future space as well and are excited by both of those things, and your music kind of calls backwards and forwards as well. What is exciting for you, like heading into a new year? You know, we're still fresh into 2024.
Yeah.
What are you looking forward to this year in terms of your own music and the scene?
Wow, that's a good question.
End of the night question. Just like a little bit of soul searching. Why not?
Yeah. I think I'm really excited to release new music. Got a lot of stuff that I'm excited to announce this year, which is makes me really happy. And yeah, just like keep doing what I'm doing, like, you know, keep touring and, you know, do my part, my Up Your Archives parties. And
yeah,
super excited for the year ahead. I think it'll be the best one yet, I hope.
I hope so too. When you look at your peers at the moment, who are you bouncing your ideas off with? Who's kind of the person you text first or send like a you know, demo to when you're working on an idea?
Well, I've been working with a guy called Ethan P. Flynn, who's actually not a junglist. He's like... he's a musical genius, but he's more in like the folk world. And I've collaborated with him quite a lot recently. But for me, like a mentor probably would be Goldie. Like I talk to him like every week and he's like, it's like a kind of uncle for me, and he's just someone that I respect so much, and I'm very grateful to have that friendship with him.
Totally. This is kind of a weird question to ask you, but I hope you don't mind it. There's so much like conversation about like the future of where like electronic music's going, particularly jungle, particularly drum and bass at the moment. For you, a lot of people are looking at you and saying, this is the space where it's at. Do you feel the pressure of that at all? Is it something you try not to think about?
I don't really get involved in that conversation. Like a lot of people have tried to say to me, I'm reviving jungle, I'm da-da-da-da. I just don't really personally believe that, and I don't really understand that conversation because I am a fan of the music. And there's always people, there's so many people that are in it. It's just very underground.
Yeah.
But I don't really personally think that I'm the one that's making it come back. I think it's just existing. It's just sometimes there's certain people or certain songs that break through.
Yeah.
But I don't believe that it ever went away for me. I just see it in real life, so I don't know.
No, totally agree. And to kind of push back against that, like, who are some other producers that you're really enjoying at the moment? Like, who's in your
jungle
scene? Yeah, for jungle. People
there's
that you
so
just
many
like...
people, yeah. I mean, my favourite new gen junglists are definitely Cheetah. This young kid, he's like 20. He lives in Bristol. I've just done a couple of sessions with him, actually. Nectax, he's from Newcastle, which is like in the north of England. Who else is there? Guido Wisey. He's like a Brazilian, like, I think he's like half Brazilian, half English, and he kind of makes like ballet funk jungle.
Cool.
I like 4AM Crew. I think they're really cool. There's so many people. Even like Pete Cannon, he's a lot older, but he's making a lot of like sick like Amen stuff.
Totally.
Which I like. And yeah. So many people, really.
And it still sounds like just as fresh and new as anything some young person's making as
yeah.
well. Yeah, totally. Hey, thank you so much for chatting with us.
Thank you.
For letting us catch you at the Indian night. I hope you get to go see a bit of Stormzy now yeah. and have a good one. And we will see you next time you're in New Zealand.
Yes, I hope I come back soon.
All right, we've just seen the last of the pyrotechnics from Stormzy's absolutely incredible headline set.
We have Vossy Bopped.
We have Vossy Bopped our way to the end of Laneway Festival 2024.
Mm-hmm.
The feet are sore, the body's sweaty.
There's no makeup left on my face.
But the heart's very full.
Indeed.
Live music rules. What a great day out. Have you had a good time, Stella?
I've had an excellent time, Rachel. How about you?
I've just had the time of my life. It was lovely to run around in a big hot field and remember how great it is to see live music with a whole bunch of nerdy music fans.
We are so back.
Massively excited to get back in the studio tomorrow morning and share all these chats with everyone. But for now, let's trudge our way home in the crowd and call it a good night.
Time to go.
Bye-bye.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.